Carrie Olson again. I'm here from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. I work in the Division of Epidemiology, and I'm going to present today some analyses that we've done looking at self-reported fear of an intimate partner in New York City. I'm going to talk about the prevalence of fear of an intimate partner among both men and women in New York City, and then look at gender-specific profiles of the socio-demographic characteristics and health-related behaviors that are associated with fear. And then finally, I want to talk a little bit about what are some of the potential implications of our results for a healthcare response to intimate partner violence. The data that I'm presenting here today are based on our New York City Community Health Survey. This was a survey that was started in 2002, and it was designed to provide us with robust citywide and neighborhood-level estimates on a variety of different healthcare access, health behaviors, and health outcome indicators. We call up approximately 10,000 New Yorkers each year and ask them a questionnaire that's based on the BRFSS and the NHIS. It's a random digit dial survey, so it is generalizable to the New York City population as well as our neighborhood estimates. We use a complex survey design that has quotas for 42 different neighborhoods in the New York City population, and we also do random selection at the household level when we reach folks to choose one respondent for each household. And respondents respond only for themselves, not for the rest of the members of their household. For the analyses that I'm going to present here today, we pooled the data from 2002, 2004, and 2005 in order to have increased power so that we could look at differences in reported fear between the different subgroups. All the data are weighted for unequal selection probabilities and non-response, and we use post-stratification weights to estimate this according to the Census 2000 New York City population. Cooperation rates on this survey for all three of these years were over 60%. So on the survey, we asked one question that reads, in the past 12 months, have you been frightened for the safety of yourself, your children, or friends because of the anger or threats of an intimate partner? We asked this question of all respondents, and it's been shown that fear is associated with lifetime and past year physical violence. We also know from the literature that reported fear is used to distinguish severe and systematic intimate partner violence from situational or common couple violence. The situational violence is the violence that we tend to see coming out at equal prevalences between men and women in population-based surveys. So since we were asking about fear, we hypothesized that we would see higher rates of reported fear of an intimate partner among women than among men. And we also assumed that we would see different factors associated with fear between the genders. For our independent variables, we chose which variables to use based on literature showing that they were correlated with intimate partner violence either among men or women. For demographics, in addition to gender, we looked at age, race, ethnicity, marital status, the language in which the interview was done, and country of birth. We used four variables to approximate socioeconomic status, household income, which was broken into three different levels, less than 200% of the poverty, 200 federal poverty level, 200 to 400% of poverty level, and for greater than 400%. We looked at education, employment status, and whether or not the respondent had health insurance. We also looked at three health-related behaviors, binge drinking in the past month, and having multiple sexual partners in the past year. That's three or more sex partners in comparison to zero to two sex partners in the past year, and those are sex partners of either gender. And we looked at condom use at last sex. Finally, we also looked at self-reported health status and whether or not the respondent had had a same-sex sex partner in the past year. Our final sample was about 23,500. We had a little over 9,500 men and about 14,000 women. We limited our analyses to ages 18 to 64 and excluded anybody who's missing on our outcome of interest, fear of an intimate partner. First, we looked at bivariate associations, looking at age-adjusted prevalences and then testing for possible differences between subgroups using students' t-tests. And then we built two logistic regression models, one for men and one for women. All of our analyses were done in SAS-calibre Sudan in order to adjust for our complex survey design. So the first thing we found was that our hypothesis was incorrect. We found no significant difference between men and women in self-reported fear of an intimate partner in New York City. 2.7% of women reported fear of an intimate partner, and 2.2% of men reported fear. When we did our bivariate analyses, we found that among both men and women, younger adults were more likely to report fear than older adults. We also found for both men and women that those who identified as Black or African American and those who identified as Hispanic were more likely to report fear than those who identified as white. We were interested in our analyses of marital status to see that the highest prevalences were among adults who identified as being separated, with fully 1 in 10 of folks, both men and women, who reported being separated, and that's distinct from being divorced, having a prevalence of fear of an intimate partner. And then divorced and never married, actually it shouldn't be adults, divorced and never married women also had elevated prevalence of fear in comparison to women who were partnered, so women who were married or a member of an unmared couple. All four of our SCS variables were associated with fear of an intimate partner. I failed to put on the slide employment, but we found that lower educational status, lack of health insurance, having lower income, and not being employed were associated with fear among both men and women. And we found that binge drinking and having multiple past year sexual partners was associated with fear of an intimate partner in both men and women. Interestingly, among those individuals who reported having multiple sex partners, women had twice the prevalence of fear in comparison to men. So about 9% of women with multiple sex partners reported fear in comparison to about 4.5% of men. And then finally, only among women did we see an association with having a same-sex partner in the past year. With women who did report a same-sex partner, 8.8% of them reported fear of an intimate partner in the past year, compared to 2.3% of women who did not have a same-sex partner in the past year. Okay, so we built two models, as I mentioned. The way we did that was we took any correlates that had been associated at the bivariate level of less than 0.1, a p-value of less than 0.1, and added them in the order of significance using forward stepwise modeling. Our outcome was fear of a partner, and we retained independent variables when they had a p-value of less than 0.5. Any variables that dropped during model building were added back at the end in order to test for confounding and possible interactions. And we used, and ultimately we ended up having to include age to control for confounding in both of our models. So looking at women and fear of an intimate partner, we can see that separated marital status, not having health insurance, having poor or fair health in comparison to having very good or excellent health, and binge drinking were all positively associated independently in a multivariate model with fear of an intimate partner. We also found that women who were interviewed in a language other than English were less likely to report fear of an intimate partner. However, our most interesting findings, this what I'm presented there at the top of the slide supports what's already in the literature, but we found a really interesting interaction between income and multiple sex partners. So looking at this, the comparison group here are high-income women who have 0 to 2 sex partners, and in comparison, women who of low income who had multiple sex partners had 11 times the odds of reporting fear of an intimate partner. I find this a little easier to understand looking at a graph. So this is looking at the model predicted prevalence of fear of an intimate partner, adjusting for all of the covariates that I just presented in the previous slide. And you can see that the yellow bars, do they look yellow? Yeah. The yellow bars on the slide represent women with 3 or more sex partners, and among those who have who had low incomes of less than 200% of the federal poverty level, 19% model predicted prevalence of fear of an intimate partner. That's much higher than all the other groups. Now looking at men, we found that there were fewer correlates to fear of an intimate partner. Divorced and separated status had odds ratios that were higher than partnered adults. and multiple sex partners was also significantly associated. However, again, we found an interaction between income and a health-related behavior, but in this case, it was with binge drinking. We found, in comparison to high-income men who did not binge drink, low-income men who don't binge drink have about twice the odds of reporting intimate partner reporting fear of an intimate partner, and men who binge drink and are low income had about 7.5% of the odds. Thanks. So this is the same as what I showed before for the women, except in this case for men. The blue bars represent men who binge drink, and you can see that there's a model predicted prevalence of about 8% of fear of an intimate partner among those who binge drink and are in the lowest income category. So all data have limitations, and ours are certainly not an exception. This is cross-sectional data, so we can't determine any causality from the associations that I've presented. I also want to mention that it is a telephone survey, so as the first presenter pointed out, we cannot reach people on cell phones. We have clearly a very limited measure of fear. We have a single question. It has been shown in the literature that multi-question scales of fear and disempowerment have been shown to capture a higher prevalence of abused women. They haven't been tested in men. And then I think it's important to remember that this is a very sensitive issue. So if you're calling somebody up and asking them about intimate partner violence, there's going to be stigma attached to that. And potentially, the literature has shown that there may be more stigma for men. However, we found no evidence that there was differential reporting. I also think there may be gender differential in the perceptions of what constitutes fear. Men and women may be referring to different phenomenon when they're answering a question about fear of an intimate partner. And finally, the low prevalence that we found among non-English-speaking women suggests that our measure may not be culturally appropriate for women who are not speaking English, and that's something we have to consider. One of the more interesting things from our study that we found that there was this impact of poverty on health and violence. So it looked like fear and risky behaviors are more closely linked among poor men and women, and we could hypothesize, although we don't know, that this possibly has to do with a lack of support on both sides, both to cope with any violence from a partner and to potentially deal with possible negative consequences of the health-related behavior. And we hope that further research can look at the concurrence of violence and risk behaviors among low-income adults. And finally, I wanted to talk just a little bit about possible implications for healthcare response to intimate partner violence. We can't add to any of the discussion about whether or not screening for intimate partner violence should be universal or whether it should be done for both men and women. However, we do think that clinicians potentially may find it easier to address this topic among patients who they've identified as having a characteristic that is associated with intimate partner violence. And potentially talking about fear of an intimate partner could be an easy way to introduce clinical discussion about intimate partner violence. So among women, particularly low-income women, our data suggests that sexual risk behaviors may be a good marker for intimate partner violence assessment. And among men, identification of alcohol misuse could indicate a possibility that we should discuss intimate partner violence. And that's it. So thank you very much.